I call to order the City Council business meeting for February 11th, 2025. City Clerk Clark, would you call the roll, please?
Councilmember Root, I'm sorry, I'll start over. Councilmember Rear.
Not here.
Councilmember Root.
Here.
Councilmember Williams.
Here.
Councilmember Roche.
Here.
Councilmember Pinkerton.
Here.
Councilmember Hutchings.
Here.
Mayor Shoemaker.
Here. Please rise as you're able to join the pledge of allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Each member of council has received a copy of the minutes for our January 14th business meeting. Are there any corrections to the minutes? Hearing none, those minutes will stand approved as written. At this time, we will move on to citizen comments. And I will call on the first person here. Let me get the timer up and ready. The first person who has signed up is David Breyer.
My name is David Breyer. I live at 510 Wagon Creek. I represent the Wagon Creek subdivision. I've been in this position for approximately 7 years. In my first year, I addressed the lack of adequate street lighting in the subdivision as a safety and security concern. The change to LED lighting was only approved after I showed the councilman the cost savings to the city. In that same year, I requested a signal light to be installed at the intersection of Fowler Road, East Curtis, and Wagon Creek Interchange. The concern for this safety was the driving force of my request to the city and to the SCDOT. I obtained over 350 residents' signatures in the area, which all agreed that this was a safety issue. The petition was turned over to the city at this time. The traffic light was only installed last year. The residents of Wagon Creek have been asking for a street light to be installed at a dark curb within the subdivision. I've had a police officer, a manager of Duke Energy, a representative from the Simpsonville Public Works, and Councilman O'Rear have all viewed the site. All the aforementioned persons have agreed that the curb is poorly lit and additional lighting is needed. At the request of the city, the homeowner nearest the site has trimmed the tree at his own expense. This has failed to solve the issue. I am now in my fourth year of asking the city to install a street light. Ms. Gracely last year stated that if the city were to install a street light, that the city would consider stop paying the Wagon Creek public light bill, and the cost would be the responsibility of the subdivision. I regarded Mrs. Gracely's statement as a financial coercion of power. Ms. Gracely's salary has increased substantially over the past 7 years she's been city administrator. She doubles that of the median household income of the residents of Simpsonville and substantially higher than that of Fountain Inn and of Malden at $190,000 annually. Does her salary demonstrate fiscal responsibility by the city's government, and where does that responsibility lie for the fair distribution of city funds for neighborhood improvements? I believe that the Simpsonville City Council has lost touch with the needs of the communities they serve. Mr. Hendricks, a visionary in this neighborhood, established these neighborhoods. His vision focused on family and community. All we're asking for is a street light to be installed as a proactive step to avoid injury or death from occurring at this curb. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Breyer. Next is Matt Kessler.
Thank you very much. My name is Matt Cassus, and I live at 215 King's Heath Lane. I'm here today to raise a concern. concern about the level of accessibility at the revisions here at the playground at Gracely Park. We know that taking part in play is an essential aspect for the well-being and social development of all children, and in a playground space, they have the best opportunity to develop physical coordination, positive social experiences, and cognitive growth that's essential to their emotional and social mental health. As parents and educators, we always seek to provide social spaces that invite all children to engage in collaborative play, provides equitable and blended access for children of all levels of social and physical ability, and to interact together. This type of blended play, we know through research, whether collaborative or parallel, creates a better community of togetherness, develops, helps children develop empathy along social connections, and reduces the barriers that they may otherwise find in a variety of classrooms. The playground at the newly renovated Gracely Park, while very well intentioned and creatively designed, seems to fall short of some of these goals. These areas have very dynamic spaces, which may inadvertently exclude some children from being able to fully participate in all these spaces. The research in some of the design for these spaces sees that activity zones with steep hills, climbing bridges, some of the other natural barriers that exist there make it difficult for children, especially those with caretakers necessary for mobility or with transfer needs. It makes it very difficult for them to fully collaborate with other children for the access with those with disabilities, with special sensory needs. And it's not just about amending a play space to have a separate space for individuals with different abilities, but to make it fully collaborative and integrated in the design. So I ask simply that the council consider how we can best take action to reconsider this space, maybe to develop that with more citizen input, especially with parents of children who have special accommodation needs, to develop access to whether it's wheelchair ramps, sensory panels that offer different types of participation, spaces to withdraw so that children with sensory overload can have more of a calm space to resolve some of their emotional concerns, but overall to kind of resolve an opportunity to have citizens' feedback and develop a play space that is more fully integrated and allows all of our children to collaborate in physical play that they need to develop that social emotional control they have, to develop relationships with people with differing needs, and to see a fully collaborative play space. Thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Cassius. Item 6A, approval of the well-considered budget. Administrator Christian, would you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you, Mayor and Council. At the Committee of the Whole meeting 2 weeks ago, Whitney Ferguson from the Simpsonville Area Chamber was here. As you are aware, they provide the Welcome Center for the City of Simpsonville. That funding comes through the city from the state accommodations tax. Of the state accommodations tax allocation that we receive every year, the first $25,000 goes into the general fund budget. An additional 5% goes into the general fund budget, and then 35% for the Welcome Center, and another, 30% for the Welcome Center, and another 65% for events, which is the next item on the agenda. As the Welcome Center budget was presented, it's essentially the same that we have every year. It's paying for a portion of salaries, a portion of utilities, rent of the facility, and materials that are handed out to visitors in the center.
Thank you. The motion is in order. Councilor Rogers.
Mayor and Council, I'll make a motion to approve the Welcome Center budget as presented.
Second. I have a motion from Councilor Rogers with a second from Councilor O'Rear. Discussion. Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes. Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6E, approval of the Accommodations Tax Advisory Committee recommendations. Administrator Grayson, would you summarize, please?
Yes, thank you again. As I mentioned in my previous summary, 65% of the state accommodations tax is by law required to be available to various events and organizations that bring visitors into the city. You were provided with the accommodations tax advisory committee's recommendations at the committee of the whole 2 weeks ago, and nothing has changed since that vote was taken to move this to the business agenda.
Thank you, Mr. Priestley. Motion is in order. Councilmember Rochette.
Mayor, move that council approve the accommodation tax advisory committee recommendations. Second.
I have a motion from Councilmember Rochette with a second from Councilmember Williams. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6C, the request for proposal for FEMA assistance selection of ICF Incorporated. Administrator Priestley.
Thank you. At the committee of the whole meeting 2 weeks ago, you were presented with a summary of the selection committee's recommendation for a partner to help assist us with the FEMA public assistance grant that we will receive, primarily reimbursement for debris removal, but also for some stormwater and culvert damage, as well as some building damages and some recreational damages to the pump track and some fencing out at Heritage Park. And we put the RFP out and received 8 responses. And the committee felt that ICF, because of the location of their personnel and their experience working through these FEMA grants with other natural disasters, made them the ideal candidate for us to help us through that process.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilmember Rue.
Mayor, Council, I move that we approve RFP FEMA assistance selection of ICF Inc.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Ruth with a second from Councilmember O'Rear. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor? Councilmember Ruth.
Just a quick question on the pump track. Is that going to be reimbursed by FEMA or insurance?
I did fail to mention that in my summary. Thank you. It was all reimbursable through FEMA. So there's no cost to the city for this company to provide assistance to us.
Okay, thank you.
On the motion to approve the RFP for FEMA assistance, the selection of ICF Incorporated, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All those signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6D, first reading of Ordinance O-2025-01, the lease agreement with Crown and Blue for 102 Academy Street. Administrator Grayson.
Thank you. We put an RFP out several months ago for, in order to find a tenant for 102 Academy Street, which was formerly used as the fire department administrative building. And we had respondents to that, and out of those, council 2 weeks ago voted to approve a lease agreement with Crown Bloom, who was one of the respondents to that RFP. They are bringing a coffee shop specializing in organic coffee and also gluten-free food options.
Thank you. Motion is in order. Councilor Rochette.
Mayor, move that council approve first reading ordinance O-2025-01. Lease agreement with Crown Bloom for 102 Academy Street.
Second. I have a motion from Councilmember Rochette with a second from Councilmember Hutchings. Discussion? Councilmember Rocher.
We have maybe a target opening date.
So this ordinance will require a second reading. And when that is finalized next month, I will talk with the tenants to see. We'll need to coordinate with the construction still remaining for phase 2 of the park, because there's a lot of moving parts over there right now. But I think they had mentioned to me earlier their upfit would be, you know, about 30 to 45 days. So as soon as we're able to get them in the space to start working on the upfit, I would imagine a spring opening, maybe mid-spring, would be about right.
Excellent, thanks.
On the motion to approve a first reading ordinance 0-2025-01, the lease agreement with Crown Bloom for 102 Academy Street, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. Item 6E, resolution R-2025-01, requesting pedestrian crossing across East Curtis Street at Quincetti Drive and Park Drive from SCDOT. Councilmember Pinkerton, would you so much please?
Yeah, Mayor, Council, I move to approve resolution R-2025-01, requesting pedestrian crossing at Quincetti Drive at Park Drive from SCDOT.
Second.
A motion from Councilmember Pinkerton with a second from Councilmember Root. Discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying yes.
Yes.
All opposed signify by saying no. That motion carries by a vote of 7-0. That concludes all of our business for this evening. If there are no objections, we will stand adjourned.